Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, as we deal in this series on God's plan for blessing. As you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 15, let me ask you just this simple question when it comes to your life. What is your view of money? You know, it's amazing you walk through life, and it's amazing all the different types of people that you come across and all the different views that you have and people have toward money. Sometimes you'll come across someone who says, well, you know what, I'm going to keep it as much as I can for as long as I can, and only then will I hate to give it up. Well, your money has a great deal, your view of money has a great deal to say about how you live and your life and your living. What you view and your attitude of finances really has a tremendous bearing on the totality of your life. There's a lot of people who never have money. Money always has them. Money tells them when to get up. Money tells them what to do. Money tells them when to go to work and all of this. And there's nothing wrong with money. The Bible never says at all that money is bad, or that money is the root of evil. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say and talking about somebody else who has resources, so you know what, that's what the Bible says, you know, money's the root of all evil. Well, that's not the truth of Scripture at all. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Nowhere in the Bible does the Father say that He wants you to be poverty-stricken, to be broke, to be living just on your last penny, but sadly, there are so many individuals who do that. We live in a world, as I've shared with you, we're $14 trillion plus and counting every day in the national debt. And you look at individuals, foreclosures, bankruptcies, things going back, homes going back, cars going back. And so many individuals are missing it whenever it comes to what the Father has to say about finances. Since He is God, He has a right to every aspect of our life. Everything that's in this earth, the Bible says, the earth, the silver and gold, everything is His. And so, you know, since everything is His, He has a right to say about every aspect of life. And if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment, and chapter 8, we're going to look in verses 10 through 15. Paul is talking to the precious saints at Corinth, and there's some difficulty when it comes to giving. And there's some saints in Macedonia, they're giving out of poverty. And he's speaking to them, and he's talking to them, and giving them advice about finances. And this morning, we're going to look at the very act of giving, God's plan for blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 15. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before me, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness of will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. And he's talking about their finances. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burden, but by an equality that now at this time for your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that gathereth much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. Well, what in the world is Paul saying in these verses? He's talking to the precious saints, and he's talking about the area of finances and the area of giving, because the church at Macedonia had been in dire straits, and yet Paul watched their life and their giving and how some things were happening in the life of that fellowship, and how God was richly blessing them, how the Father had visited them. And he said, not only are they giving, but they're giving out of their poverty. And sometimes when we look at their life, we look at God's blessings on our life, sometimes you say, well, Lord, why is it you're not blessing my life? Now, we all have the blessings of God on our life. That's an understood. You're living, you're breathing, you're here. But, you know, there's those special blessings that the Father loves to bless your life and my life with. And he watches what we do with our life. He watches what we do in the area of finances. If there was a person here who said who wanted to have extra finances, there wouldn't be a person here and say, you know, no, I've got all I need, and I don't need any more. And you look in Scripture, and you look all the way back in the Old Testament, God blessed Abraham. He blessed him in real estate. He blessed him in so many ways, all because of his obedience. He blessed Moses. He blessed Solomon. Solomon was that type of individual who was so blessed, prosperity-wise, that he wouldn't even use silver because it was an inferior item in that day and time. And so you look all throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, there's so many places you look, and God makes it clear he yearns to bless. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loves the world. Now listen, if God Almighty will give Jesus Christ so you can have eternal life, what else is there that he will withhold from your life and my life? And yet so many individuals struggle when it comes to the area of giving, and that's what I want to deal with this morning, the very act of giving. Because sometimes we really miss the biblical understanding when it comes to giving. Whether it's giving to someone else's need, whether it's giving to honor the Father through tithes and offerings, whatever it is in our life that God calls us. As a matter of fact, in Luke 6:38, it's a powerful truth and a powerful principle. It says, give, and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosoms or give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that you meet, it will be measured to you again. Now, God is saying that, listen, when you give, whatever you give is going to be measured back to you in the same way in which you've given. So let's look this morning at the very act of giving. And sometimes someone will say, well, you know what? I just really don't believe that worship and giving have anything to do. Well, you cannot prove that by the Bible, because you go all the way back to Abraham, 400 years before the law was given, and Abraham gave to Melchizedek, the priest, tithes and offerings. But whenever it comes to giving, you and I need to consider the reality of the integrity of giving. You know, when you examine this one particular passage of Scripture in chapter 8, here's the reality. The saints of God in Macedonia were giving, and they were giving, and they were even having struggle in their life. They were facing difficulty. And Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He said, when you have something to give, be conscious that there are always others that may be in need. So they had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in Macedonia. And Paul said they've come to know what it is to be forgiven of their sins. Now, let me say this at the very outset. The Father wants you to understand what he has given to you if you're a child of God. Think about this for just a moment. God forbid this happen, but if the roof collapsed on us right now, if you're a child of God, can't you live with the joy and the excitement that, you know what, if I died today, if I died and the roof collapsed, that I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven not because of anything I've done, but all because of the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. He's redeemed me. And someday he's going to take us home, and we're going to always be forever with him. Imagine being with him 4,000 years from now. You're ageless. You're not going to get 1 ounce older. You're not going to get, you're not going to have that trouble getting out of the bed. Your back's hurting and you struggle getting out of the bed. And you know, all those things because we're saved by the grace of God. Are you not just amazed at the grace of God? Amen. Listen, just to think that he loves you and he loves me. Someone said there's going to be three wonders in heaven. The first wonder is the people that we thought were going to be there that aren't going to be there. The second wonder, the people that we did not think was going to be there, and they're going to be there. But the greatest wonder in the universe is that I get to be there, and you get to be there based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what these saints in Macedonia had come to understand, and these saints also in Corinth. So you and I need to understand, whenever it comes to giving, the Bible makes it very clear there is integrity in giving. As a matter of fact, there are just five simple reasons why there's integrity in giving. First of all, giving is an act of integrity because we're following the directions of Jesus. Now, if I ask you this morning, would you like not to follow Jesus? Would you like not to do what he says? Well, chances are you probably wouldn't say no. But Jesus made it very clear that the tithe is the Lord's, that we're to give not only that, but we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And Almighty God doesn't withhold anything from us. As a matter of fact, he says, when you give, you're releasing the Father to give back to you. Do you realize that? Give, and it shall be given back to you. In other words, as long as you're hoarding, and there's great integrity in giving because you're following the directives of our Lord and Savior. You know, since we're recipients of God's abundant giving, you think about it, he gave Jesus on the cross. Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his blood. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. who lives and resides inside every single person that is saved by the grace of God, how can we dare say, well, you know what? I just don't want to give. You are going to give something. You're going to give negatively or you're going to give positively. And you see, since you're the recipients of God's abundant giving, now think about it. You don't know, have any idea how many miles of cells or how many miles of veins there are in your body. You have no idea how many millions and billions of cells there are. Every one of them operating succinctly and every one of them working as God designs. And you know, when the body is functioning right, it is the most wonderful and awesome machine in the universe. As a matter of fact, you look at medical institutions all over the world and they still can't completely understand the human body. Why? Because the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Can't understand about the ability to breathe and all of that. God has given to you and me. And that's what he wants you and me to understand. Out of the overflow of his love, he don't give to you because he has to. Nobody is saying God has to do anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God is sovereign. And sovereign simply means that the Father does what he chooses to do. Think about it. Aren't you glad that you're living? Aren't you glad that God's blessed you with this body? And the Bible says that he loves to give. It is the nature of God to give, for God so loves that he gives. And one of the realities of giving, it's an act of integrity, because we're literally following the directive of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Now, one of the realities of a genuine child of God is this. You can tell that person that's been changed because there is a spirit of giving. Listen, it's not just money. They give their kindness, they give their compassion, they give themselves away. It's not just in the area of money. And when you are giving yourself away, it's an act of integrity because, first of all, you're following in the steps of Christ. Second of all, giving is an act of integrity because we're obeying the commands of the Father. Now, think about it for a moment. You know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Do you realize that the Bible also says rebellion is as the sin of divination? Let me put it in a little more contemporary language. Do you realize that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft? Now, I want you to hear me real carefully. If I asked you, do you practice witchcraft? You would say, absolutely not. I don't have any of that around my house. I won't even think about that. But do you realize that the Bible says that rebellion is the same thing? Because rebellion is obedience to Satan. Rebellion is doing what Satan says. Rebellion is going against the Father. Rebellion is going against the Son. Rebellion is going against the Holy Spirit. And sometimes believers wonder, why in the world is my life in a mess? My finances in a mess? Ask yourself the question, am I serious when it comes to the act of money, when it comes to the act of giving? Do I take it serious? Last week I shared with you that there is such a thing as godly hoarding. Godly hoarding, that is, you make a week's salary and you hoard away God's tithe. You know why? Because you don't want to spend it. And because it's a tithe unto the Lord. Listen, it's an act of integrity because there is something powerful about obedience to the living God. There is no way that I can put it in human language or I can take enough time, but I can tell you this. You make it your personal business to obey the living God and God will move heaven and earth for your life. God will move heaven and earth when it comes to a job, a vocation, or whatever it is, because he is Almighty God. He loves it when his children are obeying him. And when you obey him, you say, Father, I don't understand how 90% can go further than 100. But it's amazing how it can. It's amazing how he causes it to. And you see, when you and I were changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we entered the family of God. When you entered the family of God, he's the dad. You know, when I was born into my home, I was born and my mom and dad, they taught me that when they gave me a directive, they expected me to obey it. They didn't give me some parental suggestions. You found that out too as you was growing up. And, you know, my dad knew what to do if I didn't follow those parental suggestions. You know where I'm coming from. Why? Because the Bible even says that, you know, if you're born of God, You know, if you're illegitimate without chastening, you know, God doesn't chasten you. For who the Lord loves, he chastens. And you see, one of the realities is this. When you were saved, you were birthed into the family of God, if you're a child of God. When you were birthed into the family of God, you were birthed into the family of God to obey. Amen? A few amens. You were birthed into the family of God to be rebellious to God, right? Wrong. You weren't birthed into the family of God to rebel against him and to disobey. You were birthed into the family of God to obey him and to follow him and to walk in his ways. And you see, whenever you and I obey him, Almighty God moves heaven and earth. And it's an act of integrity. It's an act of integrity because you say, Lord God, I'm going to obey you. And that's what the Macedonian Christians were doing. And you see, whenever you obey the living God, there is something, listen, the Bible just unfolds time and time and time and time again what the Father will do. But the very act of giving is an act of integrity, second of all. And third of all, it's an act of integrity because we're showing trust in the very Word of God. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Would you dare stand up and say, you know what, you just cannot trust God because God will not come through for you? Now, chances are there wouldn't be a single one of us in this room that would do that. But I want you to listen. When you and I willfully, deliberately withhold what is rightfully the Father's, we're simply saying this, God, I can't trust you with my finances. You're not saying it out loud, you're just saying it quietly. But quiet rebellion before God is a loud gong before his very presence. And you wouldn't say that, but listen, think about it a minute. $14 trillion. Do you really know how much each person, listen, what each person would have to pay the country to get out of debt? Do you know what every person would have to pay in the United States of America? You would have to pay in excess of $47,000. That's for every little baby, every child in the world right now. Could it be that the Father is saying, I want you to listen. I want you to listen from heaven what is going on in the land. And you see, listen. There's going to come a time, and we don't know when that is, but it's almost as though, where's the breaking point? Where's the point of no return? But here's what the Father says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. What's a wicked way? A wicked way is any defiance from the Lord God. Have you been stealing from the Father? You say, now Pastor, you've been saying that. I would never say anything to hurt you, but what's for your best? And you see, here's the reality. The Father wants your financial best. You say, no, he just wants to save me. Do you not realize that the Father loves every aspect of your life? And you see, here's the reality. When we willfully withhold, we position ourselves against him. And you see, you know, the Bible says it's an act of integrity because you're trusting God. You say, but think about this. The Bible says in Corinthians, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse of God. And the Bible says in Malachi, bring the tithe. Let me ask you a question. When I do what God says, am I obeying him? Absolutely. I may not understand it. I may not figure it out. But I am positioning myself. And you see, it's an act of integrity because you're showing that you trust the living God. Now listen to me very carefully. We live in an unchanged world spiritually because here's the reality. A lot of believers live their life as though I can't trust God. It's why Christians stop praying. Ask yourself, do I pray seriously anymore? Do I really talk to the Father seriously? Do I expect answers to my prayers? Do I expect the Father to hear from heaven? Do I expect God to move in my life? You know what happens? You'll be amazed at all the people that I talk to and counsel with and ask this question. Do you pray? Do you talk to the Father? You see, it's boring when you don't think he's going to come through. It's exciting when you know he loves you. And you see, the reality about it is a lot of times believers just don't think he loves us. We come to church and here's what happens. Well, God gives us a bunch of commands and a bunch of directions. But how do I know the Father really loves me? I challenge you to read through the Psalms. There is a psalm that says, You cannot count how many times the Lord is thinking of you in a day. Everywhere you go, the Father's thinking about you. Every step you take, the Father's thinking about you. He's out to love you. He's out to provide for you. And He don't want you to give before you realize what He's given. He never tells you to give without, first of all, He's given to you. You see, in the life of my own daughter, I don't give her a directive unless I'm willing to follow it myself. And you see, the Father wants you to understand His infinite love. And you see, it's an act of integrity because you're showing trust. Father, for the first time, maybe in 20 years, I'm going to tithe. In reading and studying, I was listening to a dear preacher who was talking about tithing. And he said, I was so excited in preaching about tithing because there was a precious man who walked down the front. And he said, he told me, I'm going to withdraw $600. Or he had it at his house. And he said, I just realized that this really belongs to the Father. You know, you can trust this book. You can trust every passage in it. And I challenge you to take Luke 6:38 and put it to the acid test. Father, you told me to give, and I'm going to do exactly what you said. Give, and you said, Lord, you'll give, and it shall be given back. Good measure pressed down. I challenge you on the authority of that one verse and upon the nature of the Father. Check and see what He'll do. But you see, one of the reasons why so many don't is, well, you know, I need every penny I've got. Why? Listen. If you can't make it on 90%, you won't make it on 100%. And the reality is a lot of families are spending 150% of their income. You say, well, you can't spend more than that. And yet that's why they're losing their homes. They're losing their cars. They're losing a relationship with the Father that loves them. There's a sad word in the book of Malachi. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And as Malachi preached to them and reminded them, they had a God in heaven that loved them. And that's the reality of God. That's the reality of our Father. But not only that, number four, give is an act of integrity because you're honoring the very word of God. Now, I want you to answer this one question. Listen to me very carefully. Do you desire to honor the Word of God completely and absolutely? Now be very careful. I want to camp there for just a second. Do you desire to honor the Word of God completely and absolutely? And if you're careful in answering, then there's a question that has to be asked. Why? Well, God might send me to the Congo continent of Africa. If I say, Lord, I'll go where, if I give my tithe, He'll take away every, no, He won't. You see, the nature of God is to give. Now, get the picture. You give away, and God brings into your life. And God brings one thing after another thing after another thing into your life. You say, well, how do you know that? Try Him and see. In my own life, I'll just give you a couple examples. You know, you go through life just minding your own business, trying to follow the Lord. And someone came across my life. It's not been too long ago. And they just said, you know what? I want you to have this. I didn't realize at the very outset what they was talking about, but they wanted to bless. And they said, I just want you to have this. And when I opened the check up, by the way, it was check, it was cash. I want to tell you what it was. You won't tell anybody else, will you? But here's the way it works. You're walking along life. You're saying, now you forgot the amount. No, I've not. Hang on. You're going along life minding your own business. And all of a sudden somebody, because you're obeying God. Listen, don't ever be ashamed to obey God. Don't ever talk about it low. I'm obeying God. Let's keep it to ourselves. Listen, the Father loves it when you obey Him and you make it known and you're desiring to obey God in your family and your relationship. Well, anyway, in a way that I never dreamed or never thought possible, this person just put in my hands a check. And as I opened that, I thought, I never dreamed that. And anyway, that check, as I looked at it, I thought, Lord, you're honoring the truth of your word. Anyway, I put that check in my pocket. Oh, you want to know the amount, don't you? It was $2,500. You say, can I get that? Here's what the Father showed me, Benny. And I don't say the amount to boast. God knows my heart. But here's the reality. When you live your life obeying the living Father, He makes your life a very serious business. He watches to track your life, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and verse 2 will become a reality. And this shall come to pass, if you make it your business to do all the Lord tells you today, that all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. It's like a race, and the Father runs you down, and one day He brings about something in your life because you've obeyed Him out of a spirit of integrity, and you have made it your business to be a giving person, to be obedient in your finances, to be obedient out of that life, not because anybody told you, but because that is right before a holy God. And you see, as you walk in obedience to God, there is something very powerful about that life that just, he honors your life. You say, well, that's what Luke 6:38. You realize that verse? All of a sudden, somebody will give back into your life. There's integrity in giving because you're honoring the Father. Listen, you will never be a debtor to God. You know what that means? If you give, He's going to make it His business. He'll never be indebted to you. He'll make it His business to bring it back into your life. There's integrity in giving because you're obeying the living God. You're trusting His word. You're following His word. And when you least expect it, least realize it, all of a sudden, all heaven will open up. Why? Because obedience is a big thing in your heart. And you see in the life of Paul, the Bible makes it very clear that obedience was a big issue to him. You listen, you're honoring the very word of God. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see, you have to ask this question. If I really love the Lord, if He's given me commandments, my only real proof that I love Him is in obeying them. And you see, the thing about it is, there's so many who miss out because they say, but I just don't believe God does that today anymore. Check Him out and see. The Bible says in Malachi, prove me. You not realize what God says in Malachi? Put me to the acid test. You don't believe that I'll honor your life when you honor me? Put me to the acid test, says Jehovah God. And literally in the Old Testament, and when it comes to the Hebrew, there is only one way to prove God, and it means you experience His power. You experience what He does in and to your life. You experience how He comes through in your personal business, in your corporate business. You realize the touch of God. Listen, there is nothing like the touch of God upon your business. There is nothing like the touch of the Father upon your business. Why? Because He just loves to do it. That's who He is. He's not a God who gives you dogmatic commands and then just says, all right, do it, do it. Listen, He loves to show you how much He loves you. So, you know, it's worthy. And it's an act of integrity. It's an act of integrity because it keeps us from being self-centered. Listen, there are a lot of different approaches that you and I can take to giving, and so many of them are not honoring to the Father. But one of the realities is when I give, I'm reminded this world don't evolve around me. Think about it a minute. If you're 60 or above, you know, you don't know when your last day of life is going to be. We're not guaranteed 70, 80, 90 years. If you take care of yourself, you'll maybe 70, 75, 80, 85. But think about it a moment. You leave this world, saved by the grace of God. You're excited about that, but totally self-centered. Now, hear me very carefully. There's a lot of folks that are going to leave this world totally self-centered. Life evolves around me. Nobody's getting what I've worked for. Nobody's getting a single thing. You've not blessed anybody's life. You've not benefited anybody's life. You have to answer the question, do I really want to stand in the presence of God that way? Do I really want to stand in the presence of Jesus? And you see, sometimes we just don't believe we're going to do it. We don't believe we're going to stand. Yet the very Word of God reminds us that we must all give accountability of every deed done in the body, everything. And you see, when I don't give, my life becomes selfish, self-centered. You like being around somebody that's selfish, self-centered? You invite them to go on vacation with you? Come over to your house? No, you know why? There's something poisonous about a selfish, self-centered life. Number one, it's not pleasing to the Father. It's not pleasing to the Son. It is literally anti-God. You say, if I'm being selfish, I'm anti-God? Yes. Because the very nature of God is this. Say John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear the first phrase of that? God so loved. God so gave. He did it because he loves you. Well, not only is there worship in giving, but look at number two. There is a willing ability to give. Now, notice what Paul's speaking to these precious saints, and one thing that it was abundantly clear is that God had blessed them to give. You say, well, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, neither did they. And in this passage of Scripture, he's reminding these saints how God had blessed them. God has given us the ability to give. Listen, the Bible says in Luke and other passages, but that one passage of Luke that I've been mentioning, give. Now, it's interesting that Jesus would have said, those of you who have, give. But he don't say that. Because here's what Jesus has given. He's given everyone the ability to give. And some have more, some have less. You remember the widow's mite? She gave out of her poverty. You know, some of you that are younger, you know what it is to have very little. You work on a little job and you get very little. But you're to honor the Father with what you give. You know, as I shared with you last time, my mother taught me, Benny, you honor the Lord with that paper route. I wanted to tell her, but Mom, you don't know how many people cheated me out of my money. But she made it clear, Benny, you honor the Father with that money. Whether it's a dollar I made or $2 or $5, listen, Bible makes it very clear. When God blesses is when you and I give. Now, listen to me very, very, very carefully. Don't you dare expect the Father to bring blessings upon your life if you're a hoarder. Don't you dare expect the Father to bring financial blessings upon your life if you're one that you just try to figure out everything to keep to yourself. It just will not happen. And it's the very nature of God that he blesses those who take seriously his word and walk in obedience. And the Bible makes it very clear. God, by his very nature, has given. Listen, do you think God would give to some people and not give others? That'd be very unkind of a holy God. Now, do some people have more money than others? Yes. But we might be amazed at how much some others would have if they'd used theirs wisely. Now, the bottom line is, here's the reality. God's given us the ability to give. And you think about it, you say, well, you know, I know my money's mine, but you wouldn't have it if you didn't have the mind God gave you. Visit the hospital and nursing homes. You know why we don't like to visit nursing homes? Because it's very sobering and reminding to us that we may be there one day. Have a precious friend, relative by marriage, and a very knowledgeable woman. Last time I visited her, she has Alzheimer's. She vaguely knows people. God's given you everything you and I have is a gift from God. The Bible says in him we live and we move and we have our being. It's a very act of giving. He's given you and me the ability to give. Now, let me just consider it this way. Imagine if you had the ability to create a being. Now, think about this. Imagine if you had the ability to create a being, and you had the ability to create that being, and that being could live and function every day of its life. Wouldn't you want that being to thank you? Wouldn't you want that being to honor you? And you could give that being a mind, and you could give that being abilities and capabilities. Wouldn't you want that being to honor you? Listen, the Bible reminds you we're to honor the Father with every aspect of our being. Listen, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. One of the realities of our life is to honor him. And that's what the saints of God in Macedonia and Corinth were to do. And God calls us to the very act of giving. Listen to what it says in the Living Bible. You can understand it a little bit clearer. He says, God wants you to give what you have, not what you haven't. In other words, God wants you to give. Why? Because it's an act of obedience. Now, some people respond different ways. You know, sometimes you respond, and it's always happened down through the history of the church. You know, some people shirk their responsibility. I can almost tell whenever a person gives, you know, they give in obedience. You just look at their life. There's just a difference about their life. But some people shirk their responsibility. Will I be held accountable if I don't give? Absolutely. Will you be held accountable? Absolutely. And you see, the reason, and what I'm saying is this. Look at the blessings of God on your life. Are you struggling financially? Are you struggling? Listen, you're in debt. You're almost about ready, and only God knows, you're about ready to go under. You're about ready to lose your home. You're about ready to lose a car or cars. You're about ready. And back up and ask the question, what have I done to honor the Father with my finances? What have I done to honor? You say, well, that's not a big issue. Yes, it is. It is with Holy God. Because the Bible says, where a man's heart is, there will his treasures be also. And yet, we're a land that's going down, spiraling down. He calls to the very act of giving. Now, some may shirk it. Some may say, well, I'm just going to shelve it. I'll do it sometime later. Now, listen to me very carefully. You probably think, well, I won't hear that. You don't have to obey this message. You don't have to take it. You don't have to do anything with it. That's your choice. But it's my responsibility to deliver you the truth. And when you and I have the truth, listen to what Jesus said. When you know the truth, apply the truth, do the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know what? Listen, when you say, Lord God, even if it's just a $50, Lord God, I want to honor you with, I don't know where all my bills are going to be paid and all this, but I'm going to honor you with this $50. I'm going to tithe it. You've given me the ability. Listen, you're obeying the Lord God. And when you obey God, you leave all the rest to him. You leave everything to him. You see, there's also a divine purpose in giving. God's purpose is to provide needs. Sometimes we don't think about giving, but let me just give you an example. You've given this morning tithes and offerings. Do you have any idea where that goes? Let me just give you a little clue. In 120 countries in the nation, better than 6,000 international missionaries. In our country, 5,000 missionaries. You are going to propagate the gospel throughout the world today. Only God knows in heaven how many hundreds and thousands of souls have been saved through the propagation of the gospel through missionaries going. And in the church at Macedonia and Corinth, it was to meet needs. He said to the church at Corinth, said, you know, you give to meet needs. Have you ever thought that God has given me something so I can meet somebody else's need? God has given me resources to meet somebody else's need. Now, some people sadly say, well, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to leave it to the church after I die. Do you realize that's not really giving in a way? You realize what you're saying sometimes in that? You say, now, wait just a minute, Pastor. You're basically saying, when I can't figure out what else to do with my finances and I'm dead and gone and I can't do anything with it. Now, am I saying it's bad to leave it to the Lord's church? No, I'm not saying that, but here's what I'm saying. The Father loves to bless you, but there's a way that he blesses. I've gone back to Luke 6:38 over and over and over again, and I just say, Dear Benny, you give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, it'll be running over. Shall men pour into your bosom. For the same measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you. I wish I could tell you how many times God's honored that. And he'll do it in your life. He'll do it in anybody's life. But there's a purpose, and it's to meet needs. And secondly, it delights the heart of the Father. Now think about a minute. Do you like for your children to please you? My daughter's 26 years old, lives in Monticello, and always in contact. I love it when she says, y'all want to come over, just come over. She's got a nice recliner there that I hang out in. And it's exciting just to hang around her. Now listen very carefully. The Father loves to bless. Sometimes we make him into a tyrant type ruler. That's not who he is. But you see, he loves to favor his children, and he loves for his children to honor him. You know, I enjoy honoring my earthly dad because I realize he's 85 years old and there may not be a long time left. I want to honor him. How much more when you and I honor the Father? You say, Father, I don't know all that I have, but I want to give it to you. Not only my money, but myself, my resources. You know what the Father does? He just from heaven, in ways that you can't comprehend, bless your life. Because you can never honor God and get off free. Do you know that? You can never honor God and get off free. You say, what do you mean? You honor God? He just does some things in your life all because he loves you. You mean he does that? Absolutely. See, sometimes we feel like we've got to deserve what he gives. He don't operate that way. He just loves to give. You see, the Bible makes it very clear. Because he wants you to remember, he's an all-giving God. Someday, you're going to lay down your Bible for the last time. And you're going to leave this world and go home to God. Someday, some of us may be unable to come to this facility and worship, and we'll remember what it was like when we was able to. And then the Father will come and he'll take us home. And then we'll understand the real generosity of a holy God. But think about it. You're going to heaven because of God. You have the body you have, the eyes you have, the earring you have. Everything you have is because of the goodness of God. And he reminds you and me that when we honor him through the act of giving, he blesses. Could it be in your life, you're where you are and you're way down here because you look back and you've never honored the Father? During your saved life, you've never honored the Father with your finances. Honor means tithing what the Father's given you. If you make $1,000 a week and you put $5 in, that's not honoring the Father. If you make $500 a week and you put $2 in, that's not honoring the Father. Now, I'm the servant of the Most High God to speak the truth. Amen? The Father loves you to honor him, and he loves to bring his blessings. Could it be? He sees that there's been a life that's not honoring him. You say, Pastor, I didn't know that. He understands that. Let me say this. He's not mad at you. He's not angry. He's not upset. He's not in heaven throwing a fit. Sadly, that's sometimes the way. But here's what he wants you to understand. He loves you. Loves you with all of his heart. And he's done everything in the universe for you. Someday you're going to get to see Jesus. Can't you just imagine? You'll get to see Jesus. You'll get to see him visibly for yourself. The eyes that you're given will literally get to see Jesus. And you'll get to worship him, serve him. But what about the act of giving? Are you honoring the Father? If not, his call to you is just simply repent. Father, I'm so sorry that I've not done it. I just understood today for the first time. Would you please forgive me? And his answer is absolutely. I forgive you. And he'll show you what you need to do. Because a God that would give his only begotten Son for us is never out to beat us over the head. That's not who he is. He never operates that way. He never can. And he wants you to know his blessings, his awesome, wonderful blessings await your life as you adjust your life in obedience to him. Heavenly Father, praise your holy name. Praise your name. For only you are worthy to receive glory, honor, praise, and majesty. Lord Jesus, you're the one that was slain from the foundation of the earth. You gave yourself. Lord God, you gave your Son. And if you gave your Son, your Son's blood, how there's nothing else that you won't provide. Since you've already provided the extreme, how much more will you provide? And Father, there may be a person or persons who just has understand why they're not being blessed. They realize that they've withheld because they've been totally misled. But Father, you love to bless obedience. And Father, they maybe just need to bow where they are right now in simple repentance. Lord, you're not out to jump on us. You're not out to browbeat us. You're not out to demean us. You can't do that. That violates your very nature. All you do is lovingly reveal your truth to us. And Father, when we understand that truth and walk in it, freedom becomes a reality. Father, for that man or woman who's here that's not saved, that boy or girl, Father, would you draw them this morning to a God who loves them, to Christ who gave himself for them. Draw them is our prayer. Holy Spirit, have your complete will and your complete way. In Jesus I pray. Amen.